Hello and welcome to another episode of Two Peas in a Podcast with Michelle
and Trevor.
And today, Trevor, we are talking about something slightly different from the normal garden, but one of my favourite aspects of having a garden.
Yes, well, I think chooks might be everybody's favourite, which is not really when you think about it, because chooks destroy gardens.
They do. I went back over our old podcast just to listen for fun, and I realised that quite a lot of my gardening disasters have been the chooks escaping the hen house.
So why might you ask, do gardeners like chooks?
Do you know, I love a chook egg. I love eggs from the chicken, and I know some people, when you can't have them, yes, buy your free, please buy your free range. Never, never, never buy battery hen chook eggs. Even if you have to starve, don't do it. But I love collecting the eggs. My nieces love collecting the eggs. My mum made a little egg collecting apron, which is really cute. But the main reason I think I like having chooks is it's that really lovely link in the cycle in the garden. So for me, to be honest, it's even more than just the eggs, because sometimes, depending on the feed, it can cost you more to feed them than it would to buy some eggs. But for me, it is that symbiotic relationship. So you put the hay in the chook shed, and then you pull it out, you kind of let it rot down a little bit. Don't put it straight on the garden, because that's not going to work. And then you use it to kind of add just so many nutrients to the garden. The other thing I really love about chooks too is, really, it's a great way to get rid of some food scraps, not all food scraps. Please be careful of that. Like, don't just chuck everything
in
there.
Well, that's right. Actually, we've got two bins in our kitchen for organic waste, and one is for the compost, the other is for the chooks. Now, chooks don't eat coffee, eggshells, citrus or onion.
And don't feed them meat. They will eat it, but don't feed it to them, because that's really mean. I have real issues with that. People will throw a chook carcass.
Don't feed them chooks. No,
don't feed them chooks. But yeah, so I think it's really lovely to have that symbiotic relationship. When you're weeding, depending on what you're weeding, what is it, what's that weed called?
Chickweed.
Chickweed, yeah. Mine love it. And thistle. Milk thistle. The only pet I've had that goes more berserk than a chook over milk thistle is the guinea pigs and the rabbits. They absolutely love milk thistle. Once again, be mindful. Don't just chuck all the, you know, whatever in there. We were discussing, they don't mind stinging nettle if you're happy to boil it down, but that depends on how enthusiastic you are. So, yeah, so chooks, you get your eggs, you use their mulch and their droppings, and then you, of course, put your scraps in there. But Trevor, you're a bit of an expert on the hen house. So talk to us about a hen house.
Well, when I built this place and the other place, I built a hen house, and then I built a sort of fallow field that's fenced in with 5 foot high chicken wire, 1 foot along the ground. And then I put two other cages, same, with just chicken wire, and I rotate them. You see, one of the best things about chooks is that they're good scratchers. They've got dinosaur legs, you know. They've got these three scaled toes with great fangs of hooks on the end of them. What do you call those things?
Talons, claws.
Yeah, so one of the best things you can do with your chooks is you can scratch with them, because they just love scratching. You know, scratching is their occupation. And I go out with a hoe and I start just chopping into the ground, and they all come around me. And you've got to be careful, because you can chop off their necks, because just as you're about to lift up your hoe, one of them sees an insect and gets a neck right in front of the hoe.
It's actually very true.
The other thing you have to be, well, if you want them to love you, which you do, you've got to be careful where you walk, because if they know you're the feeder, instant you open the door, they'll all come to your feet. And so I got eight chooks and a rooster, and they're all around my feet.
Well, the thing is, too, everyone has this little fantasy that, you know, you're feeding the chickens and you're throwing the wheat, or you're throwing the feed and they scatter after the feed. Whereas when I go out to feed my chickens, I liken it to how maybe the zookeeper's going out to feed the lions feel. Because they're at the gate, I have to try and open the gate, throw the seed in, rush in and shut the gate, collect the chook eggs. So I turn around, and then, you know, if I'm not very careful, as I did one morning when I stupidly went to go and do all these things after getting dressed for work, as opposed to beforehand in my gardening clothes, I nearly went butter in the mud. So they are. They do scatter around your feet a fair bit. I do agree with you there.
Although you did miss one advantage. They are insectivorous.
Yeah.
And that when I rotate them into the old garden bed. And you can see them, they love the old garden, you know, they love all the plants there. But what they do is they set up a border patrol and they start looking for the insects. That's their other big advantage. They do ruin the garden, but if you've got rotating beds, well, that's what you want them to do. They clear up all the insects as well as all the, well, mostly all the grasses. You have to help them with a few. And, you know, marshmallow they don't eat and stinging nettles they don't like and a few other things, anything really big like a big tomato plant's too much for them. But
Although I did find when I had cow trot, they wouldn't necessarily eat the cow trot when I first moved into my house.
Yeah.
However, when I cut it back and then put like a guinea pig cage over the top and I'd have one or two chooks, because they scratched everything up, then you can quickly rake it up. So that was really helpful. So I agree with you about the scratching stuff. If I was to plan my garden differently, I would certainly have the chook shed like more like yours where it's in the middle and then they'd have certain areas where they could go into them and rotate the crops. At the moment, mine have a huge garden to play in. Like, they have quite a big area.
They're free-ranging, yeah.
They're free-ranging. I mean, that's the other thing, too. Give them some room.
Yeah, and you've got to throw a lot of stuff over the fence at them, too. You know, silver beet, just grow a crop of silver beet for them.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they love the silver beet.
And the advantage of the rotation, too, of course, you can put in a crop of wheat. Just you put it in March or something, it'll just grow. They'll come along afterwards and utterly destroy it, but they get themselves so fat. They're good at eating stuff. Do you notice that?
Yeah. Broccoli leaves. Like, you know, even you kind of trim up the broccoli and you chuck them the broccoli leaves, they will fight for the broccoli leaves, which is fantastic, and they will produce those bright orange yolks in the egg as well, which is the, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, they do. And sunflower seed, you can grow sunflowers. You can buy packets of seed from the fodder store. You can buy, on 100 grams, you get about 10,000 seed for that, you know. So you can, grey sunflowers are supposed to be better than black sunflowers because the grey ones don't generate as much heat in their body as the black ones or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So you buy the grey ones and you give it to them in autumn and they can fatten themselves two times. And they can fill their stomach and then underneath their chin, if they've got a chin, underneath their beak in what constitutes a neck is a spare sac. And that's called their crop. And if you overfeed them, which I've been known to do on occasions, well, that whole crop fills up with food as well. And that's tomorrow's food. They don't even have to eat.
You know? I wish I could do that.
Yeah, so they're gutsers, but most pets are gutsers, really.
I think so.
I've taken to feeding the wild birds to protect my peas. So the first pea crop I put in was skeletonised by the sparrows. Because I've got 50 resident sparrows.
Oh, no.
And you notice bird netting's changed. I've got two sorts of bird netting now. They're both out of date and possibly illegal.
I know. They're very fussy about the bird netting now. Apparently it's illegal if it doesn't let the birds in, which I really don't see the point of
No,
it.
No. It lets the bees in.
I'm being facetious. It lets the bees in, but not the birds.
So what I did is feed the wild birds and it worked perfectly well.
Yes, they know. Just leave your...
they fill themselves up just like chooks do.
That is very good. Mm. Now, what about eating chooks? Are we allowed to eat the chooks? I don't eat my chooks.
No, well, I don't. I mean, I did... My father taught me how to kill a chook, mostly roosters, but they're very chewy compared to the ones you buy in the shops.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think...
No, you can tell Trevor and I are not fans of killing the chooks.
No, we let them die, basically. Yeah. I had a beautiful one called Henny Penny, a Rhode Island Red. She lived till she was 12, and when she died, she just laid down on the path, and she had all her feathers left on her still. No one ever picked on her.
Oh, okay.
12 years old, not a feather missing, so she just looked really good when she died.
A bit like me, Trevor. I'm fabulous.
You're
so glamorous. I'm so glamorous. A friend of mine who lives really in the burbs at Semaphore, her chickens were decimated by a fox, you know, the urban foxes. Foxes are not fun to go out and see what they do to your chooks. It's really dreadful. Her greyhound also got into the chooks, which was awful. Whereas I had a Labrador who every now and again you might hear the occasional bok-bok where it had kind of like accidentally caught up with a chook that it didn't mean to catch up with. Being really, really mindful that generally chooks and dogs don't mix, but making sure as well when you've got your chooks that you've actually got somewhere for them really safe to be, because also what we have in the burbs are big cats. So a big stray cat may not be able to take down a chook, but it'll certainly terrorize them enough that you don't get eggs for a couple of weeks. And I didn't have any issues with snakes or cats or anything when my Labrador was alive.
Yeah.
And within 2 weeks of my Labrador passing, my chooks were completely decimated by, I suspect, a fox had gotten in. Yeah. And I'm right in the middle of Gawler, but you know, you don't know. I'm near Dead Man's Pass, so you know, you don't know. But I heard a rumour, I suspect it to be true, but my son flatly refuses to put it to test, is that if men, we around the boundary, Nietzsche would agree with me, if men, we around the boundary of the chook shed, that foxes and big cats will stay away because their message is that a bigger, more dominant male comes along. Now, I did speak to my son about this, who flatly refused to wee around the edge of the chook shed, which was very devastating for me. But I haven't had too many problems. But once again, I got another dog. And even though it was a little dog, I still think it's that smell. You've just got to make sure they've got somewhere safe and warm at night, because they will reward you with the most beautiful eggs.
Yeah.
But I also, Trevor, before we move on, have to talk about my favourite backyard poultry, which is the duck.
Right.
I know. And we're doing this on behalf of Luke, one of our greatest fans, who also would like to have ducks. And I have ducks, and I love them. They're called Pole Duck and Duck Melzer, for obvious reasons.
They're not called Duck LaRange.
Duck LaRange. And I really do love my ducks. At the moment, I've only got two males. As far as able to let them roam free, they do less damage than chooks.
Definitely.
But they still do some damage, so you need to be really mindful. Like, I recently put in 60 native tube stock to create a wildlife corridor. So we've locked the ducks up with the chooks. A lot of people say not to do that. Ours don't mind, and we don't do it for too long. The only thing is, you have to change the water probably two or three times a day. And I had a pond and I cleaned it all out. And it was this beautiful pond. I put a cover on it so the ducks couldn't swim in it, but there was enough room for them to drink out of it. And it still does destroy the pond. But what I absolutely love about my ducks is I've just got one of those big plastic clam shells that the kids play in when they're little.
Mm.
And I've got it around my fruit trees, and the ducks will swim in that, and then that'll kind of, after a week, you empty that on the fruit trees and you move it around. My fruit trees have never looked better. So I am a huge fan of ducks. People love ducks. People will stop out the front of my house asking me about my ducks. They are rather delightful. Mm. They're very quacky. They give me a lot of quacky happiness, which I think is very important. I must admit, given the choice, I rather ducks over chooks.
Wow.
I know. And their eggs are fabulous.
Oh, yeah, but mainly for cake.
I put them in cake and things like that. Not the male eggs, of course, because they don't lay them. They're very unhelpful. So...
yeah, I did have two ducks when I was in the country. I had Galapagos. Did you know a jazz band called Galapagos Duck?
No. Oh, yes!
Well, that was a good answer.
Oh, my God, did you? That's fantastic, Trevor. No, I love that.
I called him Galapagos and I called her Pacific.
That's funny.
But they got eaten by a fox, unfortunately, because they wouldn't stay.
Sad story, Trevor.
But they would not stay with the chooks, so they just wandered into the reeds and they made their nest there.
Yeah.
They had two eggs there and the fox quite appreciated it. I never lost any chooks due to foxes, because the way you erect a fox-proof fence, I mean, obviously you can put a roof over it to make sure.
Yeah.
But a fence is just every 2.5 metres you put a steel post in, concreted in. You need it to be 1.5 metres above the ground and probably at least 300 or 400 into the ground and concreted in, and then you run a wire top and bottom and you just clip. You get these clips to clip the chicken netting onto those wires. You have 300 mil of the wire laying horizontal on the outside of the fence, because no rabbit or fox will dig that far, surprisingly, and it works. And it's because it's loose, you stretch the wires, but you still have a loose fence. No one can climb it because it comes back on top of them.
Oh, So when people pull the chook wire nice and tight, really the fox says thank you very much. That's made it easy to climb up and over. Yeah. Oh, isn't that interesting? Yes.
Urban foxes have got a reputation. Rural foxes are extremely cautious, whereas the urban ones might be a bit more gung-ho.
See, because they're not scared of humans. They're not scared of big dogs even, really. I mean, you know, the saying cunning as a fox is well earned. But what about a sick chook? Trevor, what do we do with a sick chook?
I'm glad you asked, because there's not a lot you can do. What do you feed ducks on? Do you feed them on mash or what?
I do mash, but whatever the chooks eat. So I went to my local fodder store, which was excellent. This is a story that my friend Diana still teases me about. So I went to the chook store, and it was full of old farmers, you know, and I said to the fodder store man, can you feed ducks the same food that you can feed chooks?
Right.
And he said, what do you want them for, eggs or the table? And I stupidly, with an audience, said, I just want them to bring me quacky happiness. Which is which every time I go to the fodder store now, they say, hello, here's Miss Quacky Happiness. So, you know, you could be known for worse things, but I do like to give them wheat bran in winter, like I'll put when I make my coffee in the morning, I have my bowl with wheat bran, I add the hot water, and then I put a bit of molasses in it. It's warm, I don't give it to them hot, obviously. Then I'll go out there, and so the chooks and the ducks can have that. And I put garlic in their water. Their chook house is surrounded by wormwood, so I'm a big fan of all that sort of thing. But what are you thinking we should do?
Well, what you just said is terrific. Bran and pollen is very cheap.
Yeah, oh yeah, you get a huge bag for next to nothing.
Right.
Yeah,
Normally I give them bran and pollen as, well, every second day. I give them wheat and sort of other mixtures as well. But in the bran and pollen, I guess twice a year in winter, you can use layer pellets instead if you want to. Bran and pollen is what I use. You put in 6 vitamin C pills crushed. They have to be the sugared one. You can't buy the sugarless vitamin C because they don't like that stuff.
Now, do you know what else you have to give vitamin C tablets to?
What?
Guinea pigs.
Ah.
You have to put vitamin C in their water. Isn't that interesting? Because they don't naturally get it.
Well, just they do, aside. But I mean, this is a super boost. And then you put a teaspoon of crushed garlic, a teaspoon of cinnamon powder, and a teaspoon of turmeric, plus a can of cat food.
Up until the cat food, I was actually thinking that sounded like a delicious breakfast for myself.
I know, but you're not a chook. So.
I'm not a chook. Well, yeah, I'm an old chook. Does that count? And so you mix that all in the can of cat food?
No, you just put the cat food and everything in your... Well, I've got a fairly sort of 200, 250 mil diameter plastic pot plant saucer that I give them this food in. So you just add the water, then you add the mash, and then you add all the rest and you stir it all up. Well, with molasses, I just put my bran and pollen in cold water and then I dissolve molasses about 3 tablespoonfuls in a steel container with a kettle I've got in the shed.
Yeah.
And I stir it all up, dissolve it, and then I put the two together and they get the molasses. It's probably every, I don't know, maybe 6 days, every 6 days or so in winter.
My chooks get it every day in winter, but that's because I'm slack and I just quickly add it. That's a good idea.
So if you have got orchard trees, they will scratch the roots.
Yeah.
You know, anything close to the surface. But according to Gardening Australia, if you use your straw mulch in biscuits will prevent the chooks from getting to the roots.
Always good ideas on that show, just quietly. Mm. Actually, that makes real sense, doesn't it? Well, and then, of course, the ducks as well, because even though the ducks aren't, you know, they're not the scratchers, they do cause a bit of damage around the
ducks are
trees
worse
and
around
stuff.
Water. But
yeah. What about native birds? What about your native birds? What about your galahs, Trevor? I'm not calling Trevor a galah. I'm asking him about his galahs.
Well, I mean, once again, we said on the very first episode of this podcast that you love your garden because of nature, really.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, you like your praying mantis and your millipedes as much as you like your plants, really. And so the native birds, this is still coronavirus time.
Yeah.
And so talking of mental health.
Yeah.
You need to have an armchair position in the garden. Now, this should be in the sun and out of the wind.
Yes, because you don't want your wine to blow over.
Just steady on the wine. But your large glass of water
He's such a liar.
I'm not, I do. I actually go out there to have a large glass of water.
Do you go out there to have a large glass of water?
That's the only reason I survived this long.
That's clearly before 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so your mental health, you need to take time off. People are always picking on gardeners, saying they're lazy. I had a truck driver once say that if he had time, he could do gardening better than me. He was absolutely certain.
Oh, he was certain on the was he? Yeah.
And he's probably right too, but he never got round to it. And so that doesn't count because he probably would have told his wife that he could wash dishes better too. He would have told everyone he could do everything better because he was so busy. But
were they called armchair warriors, where they just sit there and tell everyone what they can do better?
Like everybody else, gardeners come in for a fair deal of criticism, and that can get you down when you're already down. So mental health, have an armchair in the garden, good view in the sun, out of the rain, and just sit there for an hour drinking water and maybe making plant labels out of milk cartons, which is quite possible. You can see that on YouTube. And just doing things like that, and you look out upon the birds. Now, I actually feed my galahs. Well, I also feed all the surrounding birds because I have to keep them off my peas. And so I give the galahs a bowl of food, which is the recommended big parrot type. And then I spread a bit around for the pigeons, of which there are 22, the sparrows, of which there are 50, crows, of which there is one, and magpies, Murray magpies, and several other types of birds who come and go, noisy miners most noticeably. But I give them all a bit of food. It only costs me, I reckon, $16 a month extra to buy a bag of wheat and just dilute all the food and just give it all to them. But the joy you get of seeing 200 birds in your spot is really great, you know, and it does, I think, lift your spirits because you can see them all fighting each other and you're there in your comfort zone watching life progress outside of you. So that's what I do with my galahs, quite frankly. I don't give them any medicine or anything. No, they just eat wood.
Yeah.
They chew down trees.
And I think you're right, that whole sitting and enjoying and the mental health thing too, I think we probably haven't touched on it enough, the conversations you can have with your chooks and the conversations you can have with your birds. They never disagree with you.
That does sound strange.
I know it sounds strange. I do often catch myself having these whole conversations with them and telling them all these wonderful things. But you're right, I think for mental health stuff, don't just work in the garden. Don't see it as work, but sit, enjoy it, like take it all in, you know, have your coffee, your glass of water, you know, your glass of wine. I mean, we joke about that, but certainly I think bask in your good works.
Yeah, I do. And also it's almost compulsory at times because it's so cold some of these mornings. But yeah, certainly a chair in the garden is a great relief if you're inside all the time. So, and I noticed that doctors and nurses are saying, talking about their mental health because they're under a lot of stress at present. Well, this is for gardeners' mental health. You really don't want to be the person who just works harder and harder and harder in order to satisfy other people or something, because really you don't have to. You're really just doing the garden for yourself. I think you can afford to take time and should afford to take time because in all likelihood, now, there's going to be 3 kids rock up on the weekend and you'll be working on the weekend as well in your garden because you'll be showing them how to do it.
Look, and I agree with you. And don't look at your garden like, oh, look, there are those weeds, there's this, there's that. Don't always. I remember a friend of mine years ago, she popped in and I said, oh, let's have our glass of wine in the backyard, you know. And I thought my backyard was an exquisite, beauteous thing. And she sat down and she said, oh, let's sit on the front veranda. It makes me annoyed when I have to look at work to do. And I got to admit with you, Trevor, I was really offended. And I was really like, there's no work to do here. It is beautiful. But she saw the work, whereas I didn't. I just sat there and saw all the really lovely abundance that was there and just the greenery. And you know, the chooks were over in the shed and they were
That's a nice thing about native birds. They do take your mind off the work to be done.
Honey eaters. I get a lot of honey eaters. I love those.
Yeah, the New Holland, yellow-chested thing.
Maybe they know I'm Dutch, Trevor, and they're New Holland. And they come speak to me. You don't know
You
these
think
things.
This should have been the way it was.
Okay, so finally, I'm very excited. Trevor, let me do chooks and ducks. And maybe one day we can do geese and peacocks, but I don't know. By the look on his face, he's thinking, yes, we'll leave it for another year. But in the meantime, this old chook is saying goodbye. What are we going to talk about next month?
Well, one of our favourite listeners has asked for compost. I think when you think about it, the whole idea of recycling everything is pretty dear to our hearts.
It is very, very dear to our hearts. We've got Plastic Free July. Yeah, and certainly let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about, because we are more than happy to talk about anything gardening, aren't we, Trevor?
Indeed, indeed, yep.
So next month we are going to be, at request, talking about compost.
I think, talking about recycling, because the garden is a good place to recycle just about everything.
We can get all creative. Excellent. I'm already excited. All right. So thank you very much for listening, and it's goodbye from Michelle.
And it's goodbye from Trevor.